This is Django Rips, a podcast for learning web application development in Python using the Django web framework. We explore all of Django's features to equip you with the knowledge to build your own web app. I'm your host, Matt Lehman. Episode 8, Administering Your App. Welcome back to Django Rips. On the last episode, we finished up a big discussion about models. We looked at a lot of ways to interact with your models and use the Django ORM to get your data, create your data, modify your data, do anything you need to do in your web application to get everything going. And we've covered the core topics of the framework. We've seen views and templates and models and all of the component pieces that you'll need in order to build an application. But Django offers so much more, and we're going to start exploring some of those extra topics to see why Django is a framework that is so powerful out of the box without you going and adding a bunch of extra customizations in the process. Our focus today will be on the Django Administrator site that is built into the framework. We're going to see what it is, how to configure it, and how to customize it for your needs. So let's start with what the Django admin is. We'll often call the administrator site the admin for short, and it's a great way to modify your data that's in your database without having to resort to extra tools. Because if you think about it, if you're running a web application and you have to manage the data on the site, perhaps you're maintaining a blog and you have blog posts that you need to edit or update, or perhaps you're building an e-commerce site and you have product inventory that you have to manage, whatever your scenario is, you're going to have data in your app that you need to interact with. And if you don't have any tools that are in the interface, in the UI, then what are you going to do? There are some obvious choices, or obvious to a programmer perhaps, is that you could bring up some kind of REPL, read, evaluate, print, loop tool. Like if you fire up Python, Django has a similar one with the manage shell command that would give you access to your data and to your models, and you can modify things directly. And sometimes that's appropriate. But what if you're working on a team and you're building a web application for a team that is not full of programmers? And sometimes, even if you are a programmer, it's still not convenient to have to type in some code to do some interaction or browsing of data, casual analysis. So it would be nice if there was some tooling that let you see your data and interact with your data through a web user interface. And that's exactly what the Django admin is. It's a tool set that you can add to your site very easily. And in fact, it is built into the system when you create a new project, which is awesome. We'll talk through that. And it gives you these tools to let you see your data, which is amazing. So how do you get the Django admin? The Django admin actually comes along when you run the start project command. So if you're starting a brand new Django web application, you use the start project management command, and it does the scaffolding for you to configure everything that you're going to need to hook in your URLs and start plugging in your views and all of that. And if you look through the list of settings that are in your settings file that will be created, you'll notice some stuff about the admin. It lives in this area of Django contrib admin. And by having that configured with the default setup, you don't have to do any work to get the admin going in a visible way, which is pretty amazing. There is a little bit of work before you can even see it and log into it, but that's a bit of a setup process. So we'll talk through that as well. So what is the Django admin actually doing for you? Really what it's trying to do is it's trying to provide the CRUD interface for all of your models. If you've never encountered CRUD before, it's a very common acronym that is used for websites and describing web applications. And it stands for the following. It stands for create, read, update, and delete. And so those are four actions that you should be able to do to interact with data. So you want to be able to create new records for your database. You want to be able to read and see these records. You want to be able to update or edit the records. And if you don't need them, you want to be able to delete the records. And if you think about it, if you break actions down into that, most websites actually fit into this if you squint hard enough. If you're considering, you know, even a tool like, I don't know, Instagram, a picture site, you're really uploading data. So you're creating data. Your other users are reading it. They're viewing your pictures. You can update it. People can comment or do whatever they do on Instagram about your images. And presumably the users can also delete images if they're not happy with it, or moderators can take things down and so on. But all of those actions are there as the primary way to interact with the website. And this applies to not just an Instagram, but virtually any site that you're going to be on. If you think about each of those sites, you can kind of see every interaction falling into one of these few buckets. So CRUD is such a common thing to do that it is given this acronym, and you'll see it broadly used in web applications. So let's talk about what the admin site provides as tools and the pages that are there, and we'll see that they map very closely with these CRUD operations. I don't have any visual way to do this because this is a podcast, so you'll have to, if you really want to follow along with this part of the discussion, you'll need to start your own project and fire up the admin, and we'll see how to do that. And you can explore this yourself, and I really strongly recommend that you do that, because I think it's going to be a powerful way to learn. But since this is an audio format, I will do my best to describe the primary pages that are there, and you can then follow up with that yourself to know how to explore. The first page you'll see after you log into the admin, which I guess is really the first page you'll see, but the first page you'll see once you're logged in is an index page. And if you are a certain type of user, which we'll talk about, you will see every model that is available to the system that has been registered with the admin. And all of these models are then clickable, and you can interact with them, and you can interact with a different application. So that's, you're going to be your primary interface, is this index page that is essentially a big table of models. If you click on one of the models, you'll be presented with a list view for that model. And this is, in effect, a spreadsheet kind of view of the rows of your data in your database. Because you might have thousands or perhaps even millions of rows in a database table for a particular model, it doesn't display all the records at once. This list page will paginate and give you a set of records to look at a time. So it's a nice way to browse a collection of rows rather than look at an instance. But as you might imagine, those rows themselves are clickable, and you can click through and look at the detailed view of a particular row in your database. And this is where you will examine all of the data in a database model and can see all of the fields that are there in the default configuration. So you'll get the full view of everything that is in your database table. Additionally, there is an edit page. So that's how you are able to modify the data. You can go to this edit page, and it changes all of this view. So you can adjust fields as you see fit. And you can tweak values and save them, and then you'll have updated instances. With a very small set of pages, we can see that all of the aspects of CRUD are implemented here. There's an add page to create new records. There is a list page to read a set of records. There's a detailed view of it to see additional data about an individual record. From that page, you can update it. And there's also some UI elements to help you delete records if you choose to do that from the admin site as well. Let's talk next about how you get your models in the admin. But before I do that, I want to make a comment about security. So when you run Start Project, Django will put your admin site under the URL path of /admin/. And that's a convenience thing. It's part of the setting this up process for you so that you don't have to do it yourself. But I will caution you and strongly recommend that you change this default path. And why would you need to change that? What's that really adding for you? Because if you're really into security, you'll know that security through obscurity is not a good thing. It's not like a strategy you should rely on. So if you just change your admin to a bunch of random characters, that might seem helpful, And it is to a degree, but it is not true security. So I guess I should be very clear that I'm not talking about making your site undiscoverable on the internet by changing where your admin site lives, but I do recommend changing your admin site URL anyway. And the reason is to combat automated scripts. So if you've run any kind of web application and you've had your own web server online and you've looked at the logs, you can see that there are scripts and bots that run continuously and basically attack every web server that is on the internet at all times. It sounds a little scary, and it kind of is, frankly, that your stuff can be taken over, but it's a reality that we have to deal with as web developers, and so we need to make our stuff more secure. We're going to cover security way in depth in a much later discussion, but changing the admin URL, what that will do is make it that much harder for these automated scripts to discover you. So if you left it as /admin as your admin, and a bot can then inspect the page that might show up, they can immediately deduce that you are a Django project. And you know, Django, or even if with its strong security stance and its policies for updating things, if you are ever out of date, there are exploits that can be possible to discover, and scripts will try and take advantage of that if they can. By making it a little bit harder to find your admin, a lot of these automated scripts are not going to do any extra effort to go and discover what your custom admin URL is. So it's not a perfect solution. That needs to be said up front, but it is a good step towards better security for your site. So change your admin URL is the recommendation here. Okay, that's enough on that little sidebar. Let's move on to talking about how you actually start working with the admin. When we start working with an admin, the first thing that we need to do to make one of our models appear is to register the model. So if you run the start app command when you create a new project, so you create your project with start project, you create a new Django application with start app, and start app will give you a scaffolding of an empty application. And there will be no models in it, no views, but there will be files that are named appropriately with some imports that say, you know, create your stuff here. And one of those files is called admin.py. And it's an empty file. And it imports some admin stuff. So what you need to do as a user is to create a model admin instance and register that class with the system. So we're going to work with an example throughout this discussion of a book, because a book is a conceptually fairly easy model to understand, and it will be a crude model. I would not recommend this if you're building a book website, but it'll be a good start. So we've got some code. It's going to live in application-models.py, and we're going to import models from django.db. And we're going to create a class called book, and it derives from models.model, and it will have two attributes, a title, which will be a character field, and an author, which will be another character field. If we want to be able to see this book in our admin site, we need to register it, as I said. So if you go into your admin.py file, then there's some work to do to register this. So now we're talking about application admin.py in this file. We already have an import that came from start app, which is admin, and it comes from django.contrib. And we're going to do an import of our book model. So we're going to use a relative import, so from dot models import book. After that, we're going to create a book admin class, and it will derive from admin.modeladmin. That's the important part. It needs to be coming from model admin. And above that, we're going to use a class level decorator, which is at admin.register, and then you're going to call that like a function and pass in the book model as the first argument. And if that was confusing, because class level decorators and calling decorators with parameters is a little bit harder to see, as a reminder, there are show notes for all of these episodes up on my website, and I will link to those in this episode, and I will mention it at the end as well. So there's a couple of things that we should note about this chunk of code that I just described, and I think I've hinted at them already, is the book admin class has to subclass from admin.modeladmin. The model admin is a very powerful class that does tons of things, and you need to subclass from it to get all the behavior. The second thing that was important was to register the book admin with the admin site by using the register decorator. So now that we have this thing registered, how do we view it? Well, you can run server, and you can visit the URL that, again, is at default/admin, and I'll just use that for discussion, but I remind you, change that if you can on your project, if you have a real one, and you'll be presented with a login page. So we haven't really talked through the authentication system yet, but for now, we can go ahead and create some credentials that you can use to see this, and we can understand more of those credentials and what that system is doing in the future, but it's not really super important to know it today. It's just you need a user account in order to get in. Kill off your run server if you started one, and run a new command, and it's manage.py, and the command is called create super user, all one word jammed together, and it will prompt you for a username, an email address, and a password. And when you're done, you'll have a super user account created. This account, just as super users are with Linux, has all the privileges that you can imagine. So there are things that you will not commonly create, but if we're talking about administrative sites and having the power to see everything, a super user account has this special ability. And it's really good if you're poking around right now and playing with this yourself. Super user is a good, easy way to go. So now that you have a super user created, you can start run server again, and you can return to the admin URL. You'll be prompted to log in. You can use your username and password, and then you'll be presented with the index page that I mentioned. If you created the book model, like I suggested, and created the model admin, you will see the book model on that index page, because you are a super user and you have permission to see every model that's been registered. So here's where I suggest you poke around, you play with it, and you create some books, because as we go along and explore this, if you're using this as a follow along, and as we add additional features to it, you're going to want some data in here. With this admin interface going, you now have the ability to add books, edit them, modify them, delete some, play around, poke at it, and you'll have enough data to work with for these examples. This first example of a model admin that I gave you has a pass as the body of the class. And so there's no attributes defined on it, which means there's not really any customization happening on the model admin yet. And even at that state, it's still useful. You're still able to create books, delete books, add books, edit books, all of these actions. I think I said add and create. So you're definitely able to create stuff. But there are tons of other things that you can do. So we're going to move into talking about customizing the admin next. There's a lot of attributes that exist on the admin, way more than I could possibly cover in a reasonable amount of time. But I'm going to try and equip you with some attributes that I think are super useful. And if you stick with this set of attributes, you can get really far with the admin, make it really work for you. And if there are other things that you find as corner cases in the future, I would recommend go reading the documentation. So there is documentation. Again, I will link to it in the show notes so you can go discover all of the options that are available to the admin. But I think that the set I'm going to present to you covers probably about 80% of the value. So if we're going for the 80-20 rule, I'm hoping to nail that with this discussion. If you look at the index page of the book, if you actually click on the book model and you see a list of books, then the default list looks pretty bland, actually. So it'll say something like book object with a number in parentheses or something to that effect. And that's usable. You can click through, but it's hard to deduce what any of those books are. So if you actually cared about knowing the right book to pick, then it wouldn't be really evident of what is the right book. And what the right book means for you will vary on your use case. And again, I'm using book as a placeholder to give you something conceptual, but think about the project that you want to build and the most important domain model concept that you want to build. What is it that you want to be able to display when you're looking at a list of records? To that end, we can change that list view. We can modify it so that we can display things that we care about. Let's go modify our book admin class. So return to application admin.py. And now we're going to set a class level attribute, and it's called list display, list underscore display. And you pass it a tuple of the fields that you want to display on your list view. So for my example, I'm going to say ID, which is the default primary key that gets created for every model. And then my second field will be title, because in my view of this admin, I want to see the title of these books. And as a note, if you're kind of new to Python and you're new to creating lists or tuples, one thing that can really bite people, or has bit me in the past, I'll at least speak from personal experience, is an attempt to create a single element tuple that is just wrapped with parentheses. So let's say that all I wanted to see on my list page was just the title. If I had said parentheses with a string of title on the inside and left it at that, it would actually not work the way I would expect it to. And that's an oddity with tuples in Python, because the parentheses have meaning there, and Python will not be able to determine that your single element tuple is actually a tuple. It will just think it's you're trying to do some parenthetical thing. So in that case, with a single element item, you need to make sure you include a comma after that first string. So that has nothing to do with model admins, but it's a Python thing that I've commonly encountered in my career, and seeing other people's code and seeing people be confused about what's going on with tuples. And as some of these attributes are based on tuples, although I think you can also use lists in many of these cases, you need to watch out for this stuff, because it might throw you and you might get weird errors that you don't anticipate. So by setting the list display attribute on the book admin model, we can actually then return to our book list page. And now we're going to see that stuff presented right in line on that page. So if we've got a long series of books, we can see all of their titles as well. And suddenly the things that we click on are way more intuitive for knowing which book is which. We can do so much more with the admin though. So let's talk about filtering. So seeing a list of page results is useful, but there's a lot of different ways that you might want to filter your data to get to the right record to modify, because again, you could have thousands or millions of rows in a database and in a database table, and if you don't have any ability to go through it quickly, then a list kind of page view like this and a whole admin page is going to be pretty useless. So let's talk about some filtering methods that you can apply that really might help you. To do this, we're going to extend our book model, and I'm going to add a new category field to the model. And in applicationmodels.py, we've got our book model, and within it, that we're going to add a class inside of the book class, and I'm going to call it category is the class name, and it's going to derive from models.integer choices. That's something new that came in Python 3, I believe, that gives you the ability to make a better choices object kind of class that can be provided for your choice fields. Rather than using a list of tuples and strings and stuff, it's a nice convenience that wasn't available in older versions of Django. So my category class is going to have four options. It's going to be sci-fi equals one, fantasy equals two, mystery equals three, nonfiction equals four. So that's my integer choices class that I've added to the part of the book. And then at the bottom of, with a list of fields that I've got in my book model, I'm adding a new field. It is a category field. It is an integer field type. And I'm going to pass it the choices attribute of category.choices and give it a default of category.sci-fi. So that was a lot. Again, show notes have all of this information. So now our model has a category. I guess I'll pause to say, I'm going to not discuss migrations in between all of these steps. So if you're following along and you're making a book model, I am assuming that you're making migrations with the Django make migrations command and migrating your database model to follow along between each of these steps. So now that we have a category field, and we want to use that to be able to see more specific information. So we're going to go back into our book admin, And we're going to add a new attribute, and this time we're going to call it list underscore filter. And I'm doing a single element tuple, so it's open parenthesis, string of category, comma, close parenthesis. So that's a single element tuple. And now we've got this new attribute added. So what does list filter do? List filter is going to cause a new sidebar to appear on the right side of the page when you're looking at the list view of a particular model, in this case the book. And that sidebar will contain the labels that you gave to the category. So in my case, it will have sci-fi, fantasy, mystery, and nonfiction will be the things that appear. And when you click on one of those links, you'll navigate to the page, and what you can observe in the URL of how you got here is there's now a query string attribute there. So the book list page, if it's under the application of named application, which is not very creative in my case, but it's what I use for these examples. So it would look like something like /admin/application/book, which is just the path to that book model page. And then it will have *category:*_exact=2. And so what that does is it tells the Django admin to create an appropriate filter that will filter the category to anything that matches 2, which was the fantasy category in this example. So that's super useful. If you have type information on your model and you can break your model down into a few different types and you want to see just a certain type, maybe you have states of, you know, like you're working through kind of some kind of publishing states and you have a state machine of some kind, then you might be able to use that to your advantage. So that's a useful one. But there's other dimensions that you can look at data through, naturally. One common one is time. So if we have something that has to do with time, how could we use that to our advantage? So let's extend our model again. Go back to the book model, and now we're going to add a published date field to it. So below category, I've added published_date, and it is a date field that has a default of datetime.date.today. So anything that gets newly created will be created on the day that you created it. With that field in place, we can return to the model admin, and we can add a new field to our new attribute to the class. This one is called date hierarchy, and you don't give it a tuple in the default case, although maybe you can. I don't remember from the options. You can go look that up. But you can give it a string of published date. And now by returning to the admin page, you're going to see more new user interface on your page. This time, you'll have a selector bar that goes kind of across the top of the page above your list, and it will have dates in it. It'll start pretty broadly to the year, I believe. And as you click through, you can filter down to months and days and get more and more refined in your date searching. So this is very useful if you need to find a specific instance at a specific point in time. Again, extrapolate to having millions of rows in your database and you care about what happened 3 months ago. So how could you do that? Well, you have this extra power with this date hierarchy filtering that helps you jump to the spot that you need in time, which is pretty neat. We can influence the way to display data as well by messing with ordering options. So Django models have an ability to do a default ordering, which is will add an order by clause to your SQL query if you choose to use that. But if you don't have a default ordering on your model, because maybe it doesn't make sense for your application, but you do want to see things ordered a certain way in your administrative site, you can add an ordering attribute to your admin class and affect things that way. Returning to our book admin, I'm going to add an ordering field, and it's going to be a single element tuple, and it's going to have title as the string inside of that single element tuple. And now when I return to the list view page, I'll see all the books that are there ordered by their title name. Let's talk about one more field that really impacts the list page, and then we can talk about some fields that are useful for a detailed page. And that field is called search fields. And as you might imagine, search fields gives you the ability to search through your database model. And so we're going to add a search fields to our book admin. So at the end, I'm going to add search underscore fields. Again, it is a single element tuple that has the string of author inside of it. So now we're going to search based on authors. And again, this is going to modify the look of your list page. It will add a search bar to the page, and you'll be able to input into that search box that's there, and it will do a search. So essentially, it's going to do a filter within the Django RM that will search based on your criteria. So if I am looking for books from J.R.R. Tolkien, for example, and I search for Tolkien, then it's going to put together a query set that is something like book.objects.filter author double underscore I contains Tolkien. So the semantics of how it's doing that search are a little bit complicated in some regard, because if you have a multi-word search, it does things a little differently. You can look that up, information up in the Django admin docs, but it is a nice quick search to add to your data. And I will be honest, it's not like it's going to compare to a Google quality search or anything like that. There's not that kind of technology built into it. It is doing the best it can with some filtering options. But if you are looking for a simple kind of search to get to a rough answer on your data quickly, then adding a search feature in a single line, I think, is pretty amazing. With 5 options by my count, we have been able to dramatically improve the abilities that come with a list page, all because the Django admin is so powerful out of the box, and you can get really far by making your admin site work for you with just a small, small amount of configuration, which I think is pretty amazing. Let's turn our attention, though, to dealing with a detail page. So we have this list page, and you click through to an individual book, and what does that do? What benefit can we get out of that? Well, there are a few that are useful as well here. To see one of these illustrated, let's talk about adding a foreign key to our book model. So now to our book model, we're going to return to it, and we're going to add an editor field. And the editor is going to be a foreign key, and it's going to be a foreign key to a user model that is coming from the authentication system. Again, you can kind of ignore some of these details for now. I'm going to go into the authentication system in depth later on, but you can know for the time being that there is a user model that comes with Django that's available to you. And so we're going to have a foreign key to something in that model, and it's going to have null equal true and blank equal true, and on delete it will cascade. So it will delete books whenever one of these fields is deleted. And so we have this editor field, but we need to think about what the admin is going to do when that book is displayed. The default view of a detail page when it detects a foreign key will be a dropdown. And that dropdown for that field is a convenience thing. It's trying to let you pick from a small list, ideally. And so if you imagine that your system only has a handful of users, and they are the editors, maybe you're on some kind of publishing site and people are reviewing stuff, then it's reasonable to have a drop-down list, because you'd want to pick from the different people on your team, and that's very useful. However, that can break down. And it can break down when you have a lot of records from that other type. So I said we're using the user model. Now imagining you're making a very public site, and every person who signs up for your site is going to get one of these user records. And let's say your site becomes wildly popular, and you have thousands or millions of users. And what's going to happen when you try and visit a page where every user is loaded into the single page? Well, it's not going to end well. You're going to have a page that most likely times out because your web server can't load in all of the data from your database at one time. So what do you do? Well, Django gives us a tool for this. It's called the raw ID fields. And raw ID fields is a hint to the admin tool to say, hey, wait a minute, I know that there's a ton of data that's going to come from this foreign key, so you can't do the default thing and show a dropdown of every option that's available, because it's just going to overload the page. We're going to add to this book admin a raw ID fields And again, it will be a single element tuple for this example. Although if you have multiple foreign keys, you'd fill it with whatever you needed to. And we're going to put editor in as a string into this single element tuple. And by doing that, we change the detail page. Now, if you visit a particular book and you see it with this editor field, you're not going to see a drop-down field anymore. If you were looking at the earlier version with the editor with a foreign key, then you would see a drop-down field. But instead, what you'll see is a text box that has a number in it, and that if it has a foreign key present, or otherwise it'll be just empty. And next to it will be a little search icon, a little magnifying glass kind of icon. So this gives you the ability to not load all the data in at once, yet still see that something is represented there. So if their value has been saved in that field, you'll see the actual primary key of the foreign key, and you will see to the side of that the string representation of whatever that record is. So if we're talking about an editor and it's a user model, and maybe the user model is meant to show the username of that user, so it might show that to the side of the editor field. And if you want to change that value, then you can click the little magnifying glass icon and a pop-up will appear. And it will take you to a search view of the model that you need to go through. And you can type in and search in there and find the record you want and select it, and it will populate that field into the form you're intending to edit and update, in this case, the book. So that's a really useful one for dealing with a scenario where you have lots of data. Another useful option for the detail page is something called pre-populated fields. So when we discussed URLs some time ago, we talked about slugs and how slugs kind of came from newspapers, and they're really meant to represent what you'd see in a URL as kind of the short name that is something meaningful, not something random, and often goes associated with a title. So if you have a blog post title, you might want a slug that is matching to that title. So we're going to add a slug field to our book because we're going to pretend that our web application has a way to see individual books on the public site, and we're going to want to use slugs. So modifying our book model, we're going to, below the title field, we're going to add slug. So slug equal models.slug field. And we need to populate this field. What do we populate it with? That's where pre-populated fields can help out. Pre-populated fields is something we can add with a dictionary. And the formatting for this is a little weird because it can get complex, so bear with me. But the actual book admin will have a pre-populated fields attribute, and it's a dictionary, and the dictionary has the key of slug, the string of slug, and the value is a single element tuple of title. A little strange on the formatting. Go look in the docs to see more, or look at the show notes if you need to. But what did that do? Because I haven't actually described what pre-populated fields does yet. Well, that's the cool part. Now when you go to the book page, and if you're creating a new book, and you go to the title field and start typing in, you're going to notice something very interesting. You will see your title start to auto-populate the slug field as well. So if you write my title, then the slug field will be populated with a lowercase version of that, where my and title, if you have the M and the T capitalized, those become lowercase. And anywhere you had a space will be separated with a hyphen. So it has automatically created that based on your title, because you've said in the admin, I want my slug to be based on my title. That was what that weird kind of configuration was all about. So this is a nice little convenience. If you're creating a lot of records of something and you have a derived field that is really based on something else, then using pre-populated fields is a kind of a handy little hack that makes your life a little easier, so you don't have to copy paste and mangle some stuff around and change things. Those are a couple of fields that you can use for the detailed page. There are others, but we'll leave those aside. You can go explore all the options in depth to your heart's leisure by checking out the Django docs. What happens though when you don't have some static configuration? Everything we talked about so far was statically configuring the admin. All of our list displays and hierarchy filters and all of that stuff was dependent upon nothing but what we set it to be in that code. What if it's dynamic, though? What if you want to vary what you display based on who somebody is or some other attribute in your system? Well, Django has thought of that as well. All of these attributes that we've discussed have an equivalent get method. For example, if you want to change the list display so that one group of users sees one thing and one group of users sees another, you can do that. Maybe you have some protected attributes that you only want super users to see. Then you could write a method called getListDisplay, and you could check the user that is given to that request and return a variable tuple that has what the different user is allowed to see. So if the super user is allowed to see more, you return a tuple that has more fields. And if the person is not a super user, then they get the tuple that has fewer fields. So by having that dynamic ability, we can do all sorts of things. And the options are probably limitless, because now we're talking about using the Turing complete Python programming language. So literally limitless as far as you can get away with programming to make your admins do the things you want them to do. There's also one more thing to call out. And this feature is called inlines. And this is something I don't use all the time, but it is a convenient way to update other models. So we need another model in our discussion to make sense of this. So let's now imagine that our system has the ability to do reviews for books. So we're going to create in applicationmodels.py a new class. It's going to be a review class. It's going to derive from models.model, and it will have a foreign key to book. That's the important part. And then the other couple of fields don't really matter, but I wanted to give something more concrete. So we're going to have a rating, which is an integer field, and a comment, which is a text field. When we go back to our admin, we're going to do some new configuration in there. We're going to now import our review model as well, and we're going to create a new class. In the class, we're going to call review inline, and it will subclass from admin.tabular inline. And the tabular inline subclass will have an attribute called model, and we're going to set the model attribute to review. So we've created a new inline class that is a tabular inline. If we then go to the book admin, we can add an inlines attribute. And this inlines attribute will be a list. And the list is going to be the reference to the class. So our list is going to contain review inline. What did this do? Well, this made it possible for us to see reviews directly inside of the book detail page, which is pretty cool. If you go to a book and you visit the bottom of the page, you will see a new section. And it's a section that is all about reviews. It's actually data that is unrelated to the book, except via the foreign key. So the admin will pull in any reviews that are connected to that book and display them there. It also, by default, will give you some blank forms. So I don't know that it makes sense for this example to create reviews unless you're like faking reviews on your site. I don't recommend doing that. But if you wanted to add reviews directly in the admin, you could use these blank form instances and save the form page, and it would create this other record in a different database table from the book admin page, which is a powerful way if you have data that is strongly associated with your model that you're trying to modify. I have one more big topic that I want to review for the admin that I think is powerful, that I think you should know about. And that is when you need to take custom action. So we've talked about CRUD operations. We can create, read, update, and delete to our heart's content at this point. We have all of these tools to make reading more powerful and searching more powerful, but sometimes that's not enough. Sometimes you need to do other things. And Django gives us a system for adding these other things. They're called actions. And you can see an example of these actions by going to the list page. And if you look around on the left-hand side, there's a drop-down box. And in that drop-down box, you will see something like delete selected object type of, you know, book. And what that does is gives you the ability to delete books. So if you check a bunch of books off on the side, and you select the drop-down to say delete selected books and you hit the go button, then you'll be presented with a page that asks you to confirm if you want to delete those rows. So this gives you the ability to delete more than one record at a time. But really what it's illustrating is the ability to take action on a set of records. So the cool part is we can make our own actions, and it's not super hard to do. We have to follow along to a certain interface, and that interface looks like this. If you have an admin class, I'm not going to use our book admin because it doesn't really matter for this part of the example, but the interface is to set in an actions class level attribute a list, and inside that list is the action method name that you want to use. Within that class, you're going to create that method, and the method has to take a few parameters and expects some stuff to come back. So it's going to be given as its first argument an HTTP request. Its second argument will be a query set representing the models that have been selected, and it's going to expect either an HTTP response object or none. Let's talk about what that's going to do. Inside of that action, you can do whatever you want, really. Again, you are going to get a query set that is the models that were selected. So you probably need to pay attention to what that query set is. If somebody selected nothing, then you may not want to take any action. If somebody selected too many things, you may not want to take any action if you're only expecting one. But you need to pay attention to that query set. The response part of that, if you return a response, it returns some kind of intermediate page. So in the delete example that I mentioned a minute ago, where it gives you a confirmation page, it is rendering a response to give you an opportunity to decide, do I actually want to delete this or not? So you can do something similar. If you have a flow on your system that you wanted to start by going to this action page, you can jump off from there and go into an entire flow if that was your thing. So let's make an example to try and make this a little bit more concrete. We'll return to our book, and we're going to imagine now that we can set a book as a premiere on a site. So maybe our website is all about displaying books and showing them off, and perhaps you have a banner that goes over the top that says, you know, really highlights this new book that you want to bring attention to for whatever reason. Maybe it's your own personal book site and you just really like this book and want people to know about it. Who knows? So we're going to create a new action, and in our book admin, we're going to call it actions, and we're going to provide a list, and that list is going to have a string that is called set_premiere, because that's going to be our method name. Underneath all of the class level attributes that we've defined so far, we're going to create a new method. The method is going to be named setPremiere because it has to match what's listed in the actions list. And it's going to have the self argument, a request argument, and a query set argument. And inside of that, I only want to set the premiere if there is a single book. So I'm going to do a length check on the query set. And I'm going to check if that is equal to 1. And then if it is, I'm going to pull out the first item out of that query set and call that book, and pass it to a function which I'm calling update premiere, and it's going to get book as its first argument. Commenting on the length operation, when we're dealing with the Django ORM, if you evaluate a query set by needing to ask it information about it, like a call to length, because we have to know how long is it, how many records are in there, then that's where the query is going to be issued. Length is not always the thing that you want to use for a query set because it's not the most efficient ORM-wise. In this case, I wanted to do this because I really am going to act immediately on that query set if there is a value in there. So by checking the length, it forces the evaluation, and then when I do an index access on the query set within the if clause, I already have done the query, so that has been cached. If there were other code where it was more prudent to check a large list before operating on that list, then I would do that instead. But because in this case, we're coming from an admin page where it's not going to have that many records and doing the evaluation is not very expensive, that's why I did the length rather than use queryset.count. Because if I did a queryset.count and saw that it was one, then I would get one SQL query for the count, and then another query when I tried to index and get out an individual book to get the data. So it's maybe slightly more efficient, maybe slightly more inefficient. I guess it depends on which point of view you look at this. And then in my example, I've got this update premier function, but you can see in the show notes that it's not doing anything fancy. It's just a print. And all I'm doing is trying to illustrate that you can call some other chunk of code. In reality, you'd probably want this to be some kind of manager method. So it could be something like book.objects.updatePremier, and that is something that could act on that book and maybe send out emails or notifications or update the state about the book in some way. But that's not really important to the example. The important part of this example is seeing that we can create an action in the admin. So now that we have this set premier action, what Django will do is take that method name and make a nicer name out of it. So if you look at the actions list, you would find capital S set when the underscore will be replaced with a space. So it would look like set premier. And you can configure this too. If you wanted to change the name, it doesn't have to match the method. A lot of these settings that I'm talking about can be overridden if you find the right option. But you know, that's the level of depth that we don't need to go into too much. But that's created an action within the admin. And that gives you a very powerful system to customize stuff to your needs if your needs extend beyond what the admin site is able to do with its standard CRUD operations. And that brings us to the end of this discussion. We've looked at the built-in Django administrator site. We've seen how powerful it is by giving us all of the create, read, update, and delete abilities. And we talked about how to get your models into the admin site. And then we talked about how to customize the admin pages for your models so that you can quickly operate on your model data as you might need. And finally, we discussed how to create extra actions that might enable you to do extra work that is not covered by the things that Django has out of the box. In the next episode, we're going to talk about applications more in depth. We've used them and talked about the commands to create them, but I haven't really discussed what they are, how important they are to the system, their standard anatomy, like the things you can expect to see inside of them, and all of that. So we'll dig into that and get a good solid understanding of what an application is in Django. Full show notes for this episode are available at www.mattlehman.com/DjangoRiffs/8. Thanks for listening to this episode of Django Riffs. You can follow the show at DjangoRiffs.com. If you have something to share, feel free to reach out to me on Twitter. My Twitter handle is MBLehman, or follow the Django Riffs handle to keep up with the show. If you've enjoyed the show, please rate or review on iTunes, Spotify, or from wherever you listen to podcasts. Your rating will help others discover the podcast, and I would be very grateful. Django Riffs is supported by listeners like you. If you can contribute financially to cover hosting and production costs, please check out my Patreon page at www.patreon.com/mblehman. The theme music for Django Riffs is Open Roads, used with permission from Purple Planet Music. I hope you'll join us next time to learn more about Django. Take care.